Now I am. I got the thumb. Well, good evening, Hillcrest Baptist Church. Last night we were doing a wrestling match, and we have no spectators, but we still honored our country by doing the national anthem. So I got on the intercom and started to do my spiel, welcoming everybody, and I almost said, "Welcome, Hillcrest Baptist Church," and but I wasn't at Hillcrest Baptist Church. But I do want to welcome everybody here this evening. What a beautiful day today was. The sun shining and fairly warm for a January afternoon. But it's good to be in the house of God. And so we're going to welcome each other this evening by standing up and just kind of waving at each other. Welcome each other. Okay. Kathy said, remain standing. She said that, not me. Remain standing as we're going to sing a few songs. I'm going to turn the mic off. Thank you. Good, good. Awesome. Good, good. What else? Yes, ma'am. You're saved. Amen. Let's hear it. Praise God. Hard to follow that one up. Other praises. Yes, ma'am. Awesome. Hey. I see another one. Awesome. Yes, sir. Any other praises? Hockey starts tonight. Go Blues. Anything else? Any other praises? Yes, ma'am. That's right. Awesome. Awesome. Praise God. Any other praises or prayer requests? Anthony? Samuel. Body.
absolutely.
If you hadn't heard, Henry Baggett passed away yesterday. Some information and visitation will be on Monday at 2 p.m. and then the funeral at 3 p.m. at McReynolds and Nave. Be praying for the Baggett family. Henry, I think, I'm not sure, was he a founding member, one of the founding members of Hillcrest? So he's been around here for many years. Samantha. Who is it? I don't know. Carol. Kira went to court, and they're not going to let her have her children back until she goes through grief counseling. Right. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Pray that we can all say that with as much joy in our hearts. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yeah. We had a go ahead. righty. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and if you feel led to pray out loud, please do so. Heavenly Father, I just come before you, Lord, and just so amazed at the blessings that you give us each and every day, Father God. We're thankful, Lord, for all these praises that we've heard tonight, especially for this one who is able to walk in these doors and profess you as her Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for that soul. And we all rejoice with her. Lord, we're thankful for those who have recovered from the COVID, especially Thomas and his wife, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for Anthony's job opportunity. We pray, Lord, that that would work out for him. Lord, we're thankful and we lift up Aaron and her family as they are looking to build a house, Lord, what a blessing that would be in their lives. I know if they were able to do that, Lord, and we just pray for that. We lift up Robert as well, Father, and for Samuel and Lois, Lord, as they get ready to travel over the weekend, we pray, Lord, for traveling mercies for them. Lord, we pray for our nation. Oh, Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for peace, Lord, within our nation. We pray for peace within ourselves. Father God, I lift up our leaders. I pray, Lord, that you would draw them to you and that they would fall to their knees and seek you. Father God, we pray for John, who is recovered from the COVID but is having blood clots. Lord, we pray that you would just clear those up and heal him, Father God. But most importantly, Lord, we pray for the healing of his soul. We pray, Lord, that someone would go into his room and speak to him, Father, and share the gospel with him, and he would receive you. Lord, we do lift up the Harold family to you right now, Lord, with Amanda testing positive. And Lord, we pray as a church that you would just help the symptoms to not be severe, that she would recover fully from this virus, Lord. And Lord, we also pray for the water heater issue, that, Lord, somehow we would you would be able to get that water heater fixed for them. Lord, I pray for Stacy's two friends who are in Texas homeless. Lord, we pray for them, Jana and Andrew Stacy. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to find a place to live, to stay, and that you would speak to them, Father. Pray for Kenny's supervisor's church and the loss of their pastor. Pray, Lord, that you would just be with that family, that not only their immediate family, but the church family, Lord, and as they search for another pastor, Lord, be with them. Lord, I lift up Kira to you and Carol, as I know they're hurting, Father, and this decision from the courts. I pray, Lord, that Kira would go to grief counseling and get herself taken care of, Lord, so that she can have her babies back. Lord, we praise you for little Abby and the words that she spoke, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we all would say those words. We are going to heaven because we have Jesus in our hearts. Lord, I lift up Lois's mom, and Lord, just pray that you would be with her and give her peace. Lord, we do pray for the lost. We pray, Lord, that you would use Hillcrest Baptist Church, Lord, to seek the lost and to witness to the lost and to serve the lost in this community, Father. I lift up Blaine to you, Father, and Blaine's family as he's just struggling with life right now, Lord, with his life. Lord, there's no doubt where Blaine's going, but Lord, I lift up his family to you in this time. Lord, we do lift up Van and Evelyn to you as they're struggling with their health as well. Lord, I lift up the Baggett family to you and just ask, Lord, you just give them comfort in this time. Wrap your arms around Miss Dorothy and just comfort her. Lord, we continue to pray for our building as work is being done. And Lord, we just pray that it would glorify you, the building of it and the serving within it, Father God. Lord, we do pray for this church that you would use us. Lord, I lift up my pastor and his wife to you, and I pray, Lord, that as they're on vacation, that you would give them just a holy rest, that they would come back revived and renewed. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for Hillcrest. Thank you for allowing me to stand up here tonight and deliver your word. I pray all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. Well, it's a deep subject. So Brother Jerry texted me, I think it was last Tuesday, and he said, hey, I'm going to be out of town. Would you mind filling in for me Wednesday? Being the male that I am, I didn't read the full text that said 1:13, and I thought he meant the next day. And so I came in on Wednesday of last week, and I was prepared to but there stood Brother Jerry. And the reason I say that is because the word that God, I believe, gave me fell right in line to the word that Brother Samuel preached on Sunday. And of course, if you were here on Sunday, what a blessing that was, Brother Samuel. Thank you for preaching and sharing your wisdom. I did not know the depth of the fig tree, and man, it just inspired me and was a wonderful, wonderful message. Tonight we're going to be looking in 1 Peter, if you turn to chapter 4, and we're going to look at one particular verse, and it's verse 7. And it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." That's from the New King James Version. The King James says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watchful unto prayer." The New International Version says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." I think there are three things this verse says to us. The first thing is that it speaks to our need to understand the times that we live in. The second thing is it instructs us to be intentional about the way that we're living our lives. And the third reminds us of our need to be in prayer, to be in communication with God. So understanding the times, we need to recognize that Jesus could return at any minute. God has set the gears in motion, and at some fixed point, a point where, Jesus even said, only the Father knows when He's coming back. But Jesus will return, and we will see all the things in the Old Testament, all the prophecies will be fulfilled. Now we need to understand what that word near or at hand means, and it's very important that we understand what it means. Sorry, I lost my place. The early church was expecting Jesus to return within their lifetime. And we see that if you turn to Acts chapter 11, or chapter 1, verse 11. Actually, I'm going to read 10 and 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. It says, "And while they stood, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who all also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." The early church expected Jesus to return at any minute. What they often failed to understand was that it was God's timetable, not their own. And that God's timetable is not necessarily our time. Jesus is, in fact, coming again. It's just that we don't know when that's going to be. And as Brother Samuel shared on Sunday, there are signs that we are seeing daily that we're gearing closer, right, towards that. The early church expected Jesus to return. In Mark 1, verse 15, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." What he was trying to say is that the coming and complete work of the Messiah, namely his death, burial, and resurrection, God had started that clock, right? The start of the end times was when Jesus ascended into heaven. When those things were fulfilled, that was the beginning of the end of all things. Let's look back at 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 2 through 10. Maybe it was 1 Peter. I'm sorry. Absolutely. We have no idea. That's right. That's right. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 2 through 10. It says, "That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of the coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord," right, Brother Bobby? "With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us." Oh, thank you, Lord, for being long-suffering with us. Amen. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Man, I'm so grateful that He is patient with us. The second thing is to be intentional about how we use our time. That word "therefore" ties the two things together. It ties the understanding of the second coming to the way that we're supposed to carry ourselves here on earth. If we believe that Jesus could return any moment, if we truly believe that Jesus could come at any moment, wouldn't we live our lives differently? If we were told at 10 a.m. tomorrow Christ was going to come back, how would you live the next 15 hours? Is it the same as you're going to live these 15 hours till tomorrow? I don't know how I would answer that. Absolutely. We absolutely do. That word sober means to have sound judgment. In other translations, that word is watchful or alert. They all speak to the idea of having self-control or the ability to be aware, intentional about how we live, instead of living life unaware and haphazardly, like one who is drunk or ignorant of the reality of what's going on around them. We are to live life in a more disciplined way. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." We all know and understand that as long as we are on earth, we're going to fall into the temptation of sin. But as Christians, we should not just go through life reacting to those temptations, reacting to the things of the world. We're called to be disciplined in our lives, to live like Christ. And the final thing is to be awake to the practice of prayer. What Peter has said about being sober-minded or alert about the way we're living our lives ties directly into our prayer life, doesn't it? Prayer is the greatest resource that every Christian has. But it also is the most neglected discipline in the Christian church. Why? I think one reason is pride. Right? Pride. We feel like we can handle it. I can take care of this. God, I got this when you take back seat. Right? Do we ever say that? We may not say it verbally, or we may not even think we're saying that, but the way we react sometimes, it is. The second thing is a faulty view of reality. We have a tendency to view our world in physical terms instead of spiritual terms. In Ephesians, after instructing us to put on the whole armor of God, what is it that Paul tells us in verse 18? He says, "Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." How often do we fail to pray because we're walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit? How often do we fail to pray because we're concerned about worldly things rather than godly things? The third reason, I believe, is neglected relationship with God. I'll just leave that right there. The fourth is perhaps a lack of faith. While we're told that God will hear and answer our prayers, I don't know that we truly believe that all the time. If we truly believe that God hears and answers our prayers, wouldn't we pray more? True prayer is always a display of true faith. So from these verses, I think we can gather three things. That we understand the times, that we're ready for the coming of Christ at any time. The second thing is to watch how we live our lives. In verse 2 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter, he tells us not to live the rest of our time in the flesh, but in the will of God. Be watchful of the way we live our lives. And then the third thing is to use the Holy Spirit to pray. We need to pray more. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, that we do take seriously your coming. I pray, Lord, that we would take serious our faith. I pray, Lord, that we would take serious our ability to communicate with you, to pray with you, to talk to you as our Father. Thank you for that ability. Lord, I pray that as a church that we would be fervent in our activities and in the way we live and being able to go out and spread the gospel. Lord, use us. Use us. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.